الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Dars-e Quran will take place. All brothers are requested to participate.
Alaykum salam.
We hot weather now, it's turned.
Okay. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وترى كل أمة جاثية، كل أمة تدعى إلى كتابها اليوم تجزون ما كنتم تعملون هذا كتابنا ينطق عليكم بالحق إنا كنا نستنسخ ما كنتم تعملون فأما الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فيدخلهم ربهم في رحمته ذلك هو الفوز المبين وأما الذين كفروا أفلم تكن آياتي تتلى عليكم فاستكبرتم وكنتم قوما مجرمين وإذا قيل إن وعد الله حق والساعة لا ريب فيها قلتم ما ندري ما الساعة إن نظن إلا ظنا وما نحن بمستيقنين وبدا لهم سيئات ما عملوا وحاق بهم ما كانوا به يستهزئون وقيل اليوم ننساكم كما نسيتم لقاء يومكم هذا ومأواكم النار وما لكم من ناصرين ذلكم بأنكم اتخذتم آيات الله هزوا وغرتكم الحياة الدنيا فاليوم لا يخرجون منها ولا هم يستعتبون فلله الحمد رب السماوات ورب الأرض رب العالمين وله الكبرياء في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته وترى كل أمة جاثية and on the day of Qiyamah you will see every nation kneeling كل أمة تدعى إلى كتابها and every nation will be called towards their book They will be then told, اليوم تجزون ما كنتم تعملون. Today you will be recompensed for what you did. This is where we had reached in last week's lesson, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the day of Qiyamah. The day of reckoning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةٍ You will see every nation on the day of Qiyamah that they will be on their knees. And it was explained that this will be due to the fear of the day of Qiyamah. How frightening that day will be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions kullu ummatin, every nation. One opinion of the commentators of the Qur'an is that there will be one moment, Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that there will be one moment on the day of Qiyamah where every single individual, be it a prophet, be it a pious person, Everybody will experience fear during that one moment. And the question which arises is that there are many ahadith from which we learn that the obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be saved from the fear of the day of Qiyamah. So the answer to this question is that this one moment in which each and every person will endure or experience fear, in comparison to the remaining of Qiyamah, because it will be only one moment. This is why it does not contradict those ahadith in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the obedient servants of Allah will be free from fear of the day of Qiyamah. It's just like in this entire day today, or if we take 24 hours, and one moment you experienced cold, you experienced coolness, and the remaining 23 hours plus you experienced heat. Now, if somebody was to ask you that, how did you feel today? You'll say, I felt very hot. You won't speak about that one moment. So there will be one moment in which everybody will experience fear. And Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu says that that one moment will be equivalent to 10 years in this worldly life. So one moment on the day of Qiyamah will be equivalent to the 10 years of this worldly life. Because the day of Qiyamah will be extremely lengthy. So on that day, people will be seen on their knees due to the fear and the grief. And kullu ummatin tud'a ila kitabiha, every nation will be called towards their book, meaning their record of actions, the book of deeds in which all of their good deeds and bad deeds will be written. So this was already explained that first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have gathered all of the book of deeds of each and every person under the arsh of Allah ta'ala. And thereafter a wind will blow, and when this wind will blow, then each person will receive their own book of deeds. If they were from the obedient servants, the book of deeds they will receive in their right hand, and if they were from the disobedient servants, they will receive it in their left hand. And here where Allah Ta'ala says that each nation will be called towards their book, because according to this narration, the book will be received, the book will come to you. But here in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says that you will be called towards the book. So what this means is that first you will receive the book. And once the book lands in your hand, thereafter the time will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now call you in His court with the book, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will go through your book of deeds. This is hisab, this is reckoning which will take place. And this was already explained also, that there will be three categories of people. The first will be those who will go into Jannah without any reckoning. 70,000 individuals. Allah Ta'ala will enter them into Jannah, there will be no hisab and reckoning. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala will call them and will say to them that take another 70,000 each. So 70,000 times 70,000 will enter Jannah without any reckoning. And we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He makes us from those fortunate individuals. Thereafter, the second category are those people who will come in the court of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will ask them regarding a certain phase in their life. Before they can answer that, Allah Ta'ala will ask them a second question. Before they can answer that, Allah Ta'ala will ask them a third question. And before they know it, Allah Ta'ala will say that you go into Jannah, call the next person. So they will also be entering into Jannah with a very easy reckoning. فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابَ يَسِيرًا. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that this is حِسَابَ يَسِير, an easy reckoning. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua for this. Allahumma hasibna hisaba yasira. Oh Allah, grant us a easy reckoning. And thereafter you will have the third group for whom munaqashah will take place. Interrogation. So regarding such people, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, man nuqisha faqad halak. That person who will be interrogated on the day of Qiyamah, that Allah Ta'ala will ask him regarding every action that he carried out, that such a person will be destroyed. He will go into Jahannam. And on this book of deeds, the title, Anas radiallahu anhu says that the title which will be written will be Iqra kitabak, read your book. Read your book of deeds. Kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. Today you yourself will be sufficient to decide whether you are worthy of Jannah or Jahannam. So you will have a book of deeds, and this is what will be written on top. Now when a person will begin to read his book of deeds, before he can even read all the details, just by having a glimpse of it, he will realize how he had spent his life. And he will say, وَوُدِي الْكِتَابِ. Allah Ta'ala says that when the book will be placed, فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ. The criminals, out of fear, when they will see what will be written in their book of deeds, يقولون, they will begin to say, يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. The destruction be to us, woe be to us. What a strange book this is. لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. He hasn't left a single minor deed or a major deed which I carried out, except that he has recorded it. Everything has been recorded. ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا. They will find everything that they did in the world present in that book. And يوم تجد كل نفس ما عملت من خير محضرا وما عملت من سوء. On that day, each and every person will find whatever good they did and whatever evil they did present. تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَنًا بَعِيدًا. So they will desire and wish that between them and the day of Qiyamah, there was a very lengthy period, or there was a very long distance. So they will regret on that day because of the way they spent their life. And then it will be said to them, الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. That today you will be recompensed for what you did in the world. If you did good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. And if you did evil, then the punishment of Jahannam is awaiting you. هَذَا كِتَابُنَا. Further, it will be said to them that هَذَا كِتَابُنَا. This is our book. This is our record of your actions. يَنْتِقُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. Which speaks about you with the truth. Which speaks about you with accuracy. Exactly as you did in the world. So which speaks about you, one meaning could be that this is metaphorical. And what it actually means that the book will not speak, but because everything is written, it's as if it's speaking about you. And some commentators of the Quran mentioned that it could also be a reality that Allah Ta'ala will give the book the ability to speak, and the book will also speak that this is how this person spent his life. But either way, everything is going to be recorded and everything will be present before us on the day of Qiyamah as to how we spent our life in this world. إِنَّا كُنَّا نَسْتَنْسِخُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Verily, we used to have everything you did meticulously recorded. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says that there are angels. Angels who are noting down everything that you do. كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. They know everything that you do and they are noting down everything that you do. مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيمٌ عَتِيدٌ. Whatever words you utter, they are being recorded. يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرٌ. On that day, the human will be informed of whatever actions he sent forth and whatever actions he left behind in the world. So everything is being recorded. And the angels, there will be one group. Daily there is one group who come down at Fajr time until the time of Asr. And then there is a second group who come from Asr until Fajr. And these angels, they note down everything that we do. There are three types of action: the good ones, the evil ones, and those which are permissible. So these angels who note down everything, they do not determine is this good, is this evil, or is this permissible. They write down everything we do. And when their shift ends, then they go up into the heavens and they hand this over, this information, they hand it over to a new group. There is a new department of angels. That this department, their duty is to now filter out that what's the good things you've done, what are the wrong things you have done. So they write down the good things, they write down the wrong things. And whatever was permissible, it wasn't good, it wasn't evil, those things they erase. Because there is no reward for that and there is no punishment for that. So in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recording via the angels everything that we are doing. And after this reckoning, there will now be two types of people. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا As for those who have iman, وَأَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ And who do good deeds, فَيُدْخِلُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ Their Rabb shall enter, admit them into His mercy. And His mercy will be in Jannah, in paradise. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْمُبِينَ That is the ultimate success. That is the ultimate success, and that is also ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ In another place Allah Ta'ala says, that those who bring iman, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ They bring iman and they do good deeds. لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ For them will be gardens under which rivers will flow. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ That is the great success. So when a person will be entered into Jannah, this will be the greatest success. And this will also be الْفَوْزُ الْمُبِينُ This will be the clear success. What does he mean by clear success? That in this world, if somebody achieves something, some people will classify that as a success and others will not classify it as a success. A person becomes a hafiz of the Quran. So the religious sector, in their eyes, this will be something successful. But there will be many people who have no connection with the Quran. To them, it will be that he's become a hafiz, so what? A non-Muslim may think that he's become a hafiz, so what? What's so successful about this? And on the other hand, a person goes to university and he attains a degree. So again, there will be certain individuals who will feel that yes, he is successful. And there may be others in whose eyes this will not be a success. So whenever in this world someone attains success, you will always have certain people who will not classify that as a success. But when a person is entered into Jannah on the day of Qiyamah, every single individual, be it Fir'aun, be it Haman, be it Qarun, be it Shaitan himself, everybody will agree that this person has attained success. So, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْمُبِينُ This is the clear success. Nobody will have any doubts or a second opinion that this is not success. So that's how clear this success will be. So imagine what a great success that is when someone is entered into Jannah. So that's one category. And the second category will be, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا As for those who disbelieved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, أَفَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَا ayat, The verses of the Quran not recited to you, were not conveyed to you. فَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ Yet you behaved arrogantly. وَكُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ And you are a sinful nation. From here we can understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will not say to the disbelievers on the day of Qiyamah, that did the deen not reach you? Rather, what will Allah ta'ala say to the disbelievers and those who disobeyed Him? Did the verses of the Quran not reach you? So from there we can understand that the source of guidance is the Quran. If someone wants deen to come into his life, the best way for deen to come into a person's life is that he spends time with the Quran, trying to understand the Quran. And it's for this reason that we have these gatherings of the Quran. So look, this is the question which will be asked, that did the verses of the Quran not reach you? So in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not convey the message of the Quran to you? And thereafter, the ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya. So until the day of Qiyamah, there will always be a group of ulama who will continue to convey the message of the Quran to the masses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question those who did not believe or who did not obey him, that was the message of the Quran not conveyed to you? So definitely the message of the Quran was conveyed, but fastakbartum, you behaved arrogantly. Either you were from that sector and that group who felt that how can I go and sit with certain people and try and understand the Quran? You felt that you are from the elite. You get certain individuals that they want to understand the Quran, because you have to understand the Quran. Without sitting in the gatherings of the Quran, deen is not going to come in a person's life. But what becomes the hindrance and the barrier? That they feel that we are from the elite, we are from the wealthy, or we are from the professional sector. How can I go and sit with simple, normal people in the masjid on the floor and understand the Quran? So this pride becomes a barrier between them and the knowledge of the Quran entering the heart. Imam Mujahid rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, لا ينال العلم مستحين ولا مستكبر. A person who is shy, or a person who is arrogant, he will never be able to acquire knowledge. He will never be able to acquire the knowledge of the deen, of the Quran. So you may get one person that because of his shyness, he feels that I can't go and sit in that class. Now if he's going to continue to think like this, he'll never be able to learn about the deen. And a proud person, that how can I go and sit in front of somebody else? Again, he will not be able to acquire the knowledge of deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this very point in the Quran here, that fastakbartum, the verses of the Quran came to you, but your pride became the means of you not listening to that message. And if you did listen to the message, then you did not practice upon the message. So وَكُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ, you became from the sinful servants. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala further says that وَإِذَا قِيلَ, when it was said, إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ, that Allah's promise is true, وَالسَّاعَةُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا, and that there is no doubt in the coming of Qiyamah, قُلْتُمْ, you used to say, مَا نَدْرِي مَا السَّاعَةُ, we do not know what Qiyamah is. So the topic which was being discussed previously was about the disbelievers, that one of their objections was that Qiyamah is not going to take place, and Allah Ta'ala is not going to resurrect us in the life hereafter. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that when you used to be told that there is going to be Qiyamah, there is going to be a life after death, what did you used to say? You used to say that we don't know what Qiyamah is. إِنَّ ذُنُّ إِلَّا ظَنَّنْ, we merely give it a passing, hasty thought. Now what does this mean, that we merely give it a passing, hasty thought? Does it mean that in the world they did have a very slight thought that Qiyamah will take place? Did they used to believe slightly? إِنَّ ظُنُّ إِلَّا ظَنَّا, that we merely give it a passing, hasty thought. So no, it doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean that they had a slight belief that maybe Qiyamah will take place. What it means is, they are saying that when you used to, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the Muslims or the ulama used to talk about Qiyamah, then obviously when someone tells you that Qiyamah is going to take place, at that time those words have to cross your mind. So that was it. That's all that used to happen, that when someone would tell us Qiyamah is going to take place, then those words would cross our mind. But besides that, we never entertained the thought that Qiyamah is going to take place. We never believed in it. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُسْتَيْقِنِينَ. This word dhan in the Quran appears in two contexts. One of the meaning of dhan is to have yaqeen, to have firm conviction, firm belief. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ Allah Ta'ala says that there are certain people, they have firm belief and firm conviction that they are going to meet with their Rabb. So one meaning of dhan is to have firm conviction, to have firm belief. And a second meaning of dhan is that to have doubt, to speculate. So over here, this is what it means, that إِنَّ ظُنُّ إِلَّا ظَنَّن that we didn't even have the slightest of beliefs with regards to Qiyamah, meaning that we only had doubt. We only felt that this is a completely made up thing, that Qiyamah is going to take place. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُسْتَيْقِنِينَ We had no belief or firm conviction with regards to the fact that Qiyamah is going to take place. We were never convinced or sure about the fact that Qiyamah will take place. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا عَمِلُوا The evil of what they do shall become evident before them. وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ And they will be surrounded, enveloped by مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ The punishment for their mockery. This is now talking about the day of Qiyamah. That on the day of Qiyamah, everything will now become open and clear, that whatever we thought in the world to be good, in reality it was evil. So there were many sins that they would commit, thinking to themselves that there is nothing wrong with this. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَبَدَى لَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا عَمِلُوا The evil of what they do shall become evident before them. And وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ They will be surrounded by the punishment for their mockery. وَقِيلَ And it will be said, الْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاكُمْ كَمَا نَسِيتُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا Today, we shall forget كَمَا نَنْسَاكُمْ We shall forget you كَمَا نَسِيتُمْ Just as you forgot لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا Your meeting of this day. وَمَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارُ Your abode shall be the fire. وَمَا لَكُم مِّن نَاصِرِينَ And you shall have no helpers. Now a question arises here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will say to the disbelievers that today we shall forget you. So a human can forget. It is possible for a human to forget somebody. But as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never forgets. To say that Allah Ta'ala will forget somebody, this is against our beliefs. Our belief is that Allah Ta'ala never forgets anybody. So what this verse means is that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the day of Qiyamah we will forget, الْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاكُمْ We shall forget you. The forgetfulness here refers to the result of forgetfulness. Simple example, that if a person forgets about an item in his house, he has a pen and he leaves it in one room and thereafter he forgets about it. When you forget about it, it's going to remain there forever and ever, unless you remember it again. If you forgot about something, you're not going to look for it. You're not going to pay attention to it. So what Allah Ta'ala is saying, that today we will forget you. So forget you means that we will leave you. In other words, now we will leave you in Jahannam. And no matter how much you cry, no matter how much you scream, no matter how much you beg us to take you out of Jahannam, we are now going to leave you in Jahannam. So الْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاكُمْ And why will we do this? كَمَا نَسِيتُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا Because this is what your attitude was in the world. In the world, you also forgot that a day is going to come when you are going to meet with Allah. And even here, forgetfulness does not mean that you actually forgot. What it means is that you left this thought. You didn't let this thought come in your mind. You never thought when you are going to do something, that one day I will meet with Allah Ta'ala, so is this going to benefit me or is this going to harm me? So because this was your attitude, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that this is how we will now behave with you, and we will leave you in Jahannam. And why was this? ذَلِكُمْ بِأَنَّكُمْ اتَّخَذْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. This is because you treated Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's ayat as a joke. There are certain individuals who will make a mockery and fun out of the verses of the Quran. You will have certain people, they will make a fun and mockery out of ahadith. And when a disbeliever or someone who doesn't believe in Allah, he makes fun or a mockery of deen, then this is something which is understandable. But the problem is when a mu'min and a believer, he himself makes a mockery of deen. So there will be many individuals, they are Muslims, but regarding certain aspects of deen, they will make fun out of those aspects of deen. So this is one point to keep in mind, that one is that you yourself, due to your own weakness, you are not able to practice upon deen due to your own negligence. There are certain aspects of deen that you do not practice upon. But this does not mean that you should make fun out of those aspects. This is very important. If you can't practice upon a certain part of deen, then you should be regretful. You should do tawbah. You should ask Allah Ta'ala to grant you hidayah and guidance. For example, a person, one is that he himself does not perform salah. But he doesn't perform salah, in his heart he feels a sense of regret that I should be performing salah, but I am not performing salah due to my own negligence, due to my own weakness. And you have another individual that he himself does not perform salah, and when he sees somebody else going to the masjid to perform salah, he makes fun out of them. He makes comments that you've been performing salah for the past 5 years, how has salah benefited you? Look at me, I don't perform salah, and look at my life. And you perform salah, and look at you. Look, he's making fun out of deen. So such people, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will say to them that this punishment that we are giving you is because you treated Allah Ta'ala's ayat as a joke. You did not give it any importance. And a second reason, وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. You were deluded by the life of this world. This worldly life, this world that we live in, is a deception. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Do not let this worldly life deceive you. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And do not let shaitan deceive you. So shaitan deceives us, and this worldly life deceives us. How does this worldly life deceive us? الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةٌ خَدِيرَةٌ. This world, it's very attractive. And there is a lot of pleasure in the items of this world. So a person, he gets attracted to the worldly items, and because he derives pleasure from it, then he spends all his life and all his time in trying to acquire these pleasures and enjoy these pleasures. And as a result of this, he is deceived from the fact that very soon he is going to go into the hereafter. Ya sahibi la taghtarir bi tana'umin. Do not be deceived by the glitters and the glamour of this world. Fal umru yanfadu wan na'imu yazulu. Because this worldly life is going to come to an end. And all those things that you're enjoying in this worldly life, they are also going to come to an end. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that these people, they let the world deceive them. They thought that whatever there is in this world. So they spend all their time in trying to acquire the pleasures and the glitter and the glamour of this world. As a result, they forgot about the akhirah and the hereafter. So they used to make fun out of deen, and they let the world deceive them. فَالْيَوْمَ لَا يُخْرَجُونَ مِنْهَا. So Allah Ta'ala will say that today, they will neither be removed from the fire, وَلَا هُمْ يُسْتَعْتَبُونَ, nor will they be given the opportunity to please Allah Ta'ala. Now, they will never be able to come out of Jahannam. فَالْيَوْمْ, today. So today does not mean one day. It doesn't mean that today they will not be taken out of Jahannam, but tomorrow they will be. No, this yawm, qiyamah, means that now forever and ever, this is all one day now. Qiyamah is one day now. So they will never be taken out of Jahannam. And walahum yusta'tabun, they will not even be given the opportunity to please Allah. It's not that in Jahannam they will be able to do tawbah, or if they think to themselves that let me pray 100 rakats and Allah Ta'ala will become happy with me and He will give me Jannah. Or let me keep doing tawbah, keep doing tawbah, keep doing tawbah, so Allah Ta'ala will become happy with me. No. Once a person leaves from this world, whatever he does, it has no value whatsoever. In this world, one subhanallah and the whole scale will be filled with rewards. And over there, a million subhanallah will make no difference. So, walahum yusta'tabun. Now they will not be given the opportunity to please Allah. So once a person is in Jahannam as a kafir and a disbeliever, he will not be able to do anything to please Allah to get him out of Jahannam. So this is where the topic ends with regards to life after death, that there is a life after death. There is a life after death. And the ruku began, this last ruku of Surah Al-Jathiyah, it began with the words, وَخَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ, that Allah Ta'ala has created the heavens and the earth. So when He is so powerful that He has created the heavens and the earth, then He can definitely make Qiyamah occur, and He can most definitely resurrect you also. And He is going to do this. And now the surah also ends with a similar message, that فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ, all praise belongs to Allah. رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ, He is the Rabb of the heavens. وَرَبِّ الْأَرْضِ, and He is the Rabb of the earth. رَادَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, He is the Rabb of the universe. He is the Rabb of all the worlds. فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, all praise belongs to Allah. Why all praise belongs to Allah? Why are we saying this here now? That in Surah Al-Jathiyah, these six rukus, in these six rukus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is so great, that it makes no difference to Him whether He reminds us or He doesn't remind us. We obey Him, we disobey Him. He is so great. What does one person like you and I matter in the presence of Allah Ta'ala? But throughout the Quran, and especially here in these six rukus of Surah Al-Jathiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reprimanded us. He has tried to open up our eyes, that do not be deceived by this world. There is another world which is much more important. Qiyamah is going to take place. There's a Jannah, there's a Jahannam. Reckoning will take place. Prepare for that life after death. So in Surah Al-Jathiyah, Allah Ta'ala has placed so much emphasis on this. So now we say, فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, all praise belongs to Allah. We are praising Allah, we are thanking Him. Because this is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you and I, that He has opened up our eyes to this. If there's a very important exam, and there are 2 weeks remaining, and in those 2 weeks, the teacher doesn't say anything about the exam. He doesn't say that work hard, he doesn't tell you to prepare. And the day of the exam comes. And you have another one that for 2 weeks, every day he is trying his best, that work hard, learn this, revise this, look at this page, have you studied this topic? So at the end of the 2 weeks, you will feel like saying thanks to the teacher. When you will pass your examination, you will want to thank him. So we are also thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that although he didn't need to, but look how much he has tried to open up our eyes with regards to the reality of this world and the reality of the akhirah. So فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ, all praise belongs to Allah. Rabb of the heavens, Rabb of the earth, rather Rabb of the universe. He is so great. When He is the Rabb of everything, then why can he not make Qiyamah take place? And why can he not resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah? وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. All majesty, Al-Kibriya, supreme power, فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, is His in the heavens and the earth. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, and He is the mighty, the wise. The surah ends with these words, in which Allah Ta'ala mentions regarding Himself that وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَا. Kibriya belongs to Allah in the heavens and the earth. Kibriya, which we have translated as greatness, majesty, supreme power. But this word Al-Kibriya, it is not possible for a person to translate it. Words cannot do justice to how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. If somebody was to speak about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his entire life, he will not be able to do justice to how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. If all the oceans of this world were to be turned into ink, and a person was to use this ink to try and write with regards to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not be able to do so. This is what Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi in his tafsir has tried to hint towards what Al-Kibriya means. So he says, Al-Kibriya, this one word, Al-Kibriya, what does it mean? Al-Azmatu, Al-Jalalu, Wal-Baqa'u, Wal-Sultanu, Wal-Qudratu, Wal-Kamalu. Al-Kibriya means Al-Azma, that for Allah belongs all the greatness, the true greatness belongs to Allah Ta'ala. You speak about someone that he is great in this field. This person is great in this field. But all the greatness, the reality, the true greatness belongs to none other than Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Al-Jalalu, status. Again, we say that such and such a person has status here. Such and such a person has status and rank here. But true status, true rank belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And al-baqa'u, that being who will remain forever and ever, who will never come to an end. This al-baqa also only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as-sultanu, kingdom. So true kingdom and true authority only belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Al-Qudratu, true power, true control. One person has power and control over his house. Somebody else has power and control over their factory. Someone has power and control over an institute, over a school, over a madrasa, over a masjid, over a country, over a city. But true power, true control belongs only to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Al-Kamal, complete perfection, excellence. There is only one being who does everything with excellence and with perfection, and that is Allah Ta'ala. So this word Al-Kibriya includes all of this and much more. So Walahul Kibriya, to Allah belongs majesty, greatness, supreme power in the heavens and the earth. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He is the mighty and he is the wise. He is the mighty and he is the wise. You are saying that Qiyamah is not going to take place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mighty also and he is wise also. Now it is necessary due to his wisdom that he does not make this world without there being some sort of wisdom behind it. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you think that this world has been created without any objective? No, there is an objective. And the objective is that Allah Ta'ala has sent you into this world. Now He is going to either reward you or punish you in the hereafter, depending on how you live in this world. So because He is Hakim and He is the All-Wise, there is going to be another life in which He is going to resurrect you. And if this question comes into your mind that yes, he is very wise, but how is he going to resurrect us? Then Allah Ta'ala says that he is Aziz also. When he is Aziz, when he has full power,
then he will be able to resurrect you on the day of Qiyamah. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends Suratul Jathiyah and the 25th juz of the glorious Quran. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he embeds this reality in our hearts and minds, that we are only in this world for a temporary period of time, and at all moments, at every moment of our life, this should remain in our mind, that whatever I am about to do, is it going to benefit me in the akhirah or is it going to harm me in the akhirah? So when a person will keep this in his mind, that the life hereafter is a reality, there is another world, which is the true world, which is a real life, then he will be able to prepare for that. And when he will prepare for that, then he will be from amongst the people of paradise, and he will save himself from the people of Jahannam. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that he accepts these lessons of this surah also and this juz also. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to complete the remaining surahs and the remaining ajza and paras which remain. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to practice upon whatever messages have been shared throughout these durus and lessons of the Quran until now. And even those lessons which have not been shared, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his ultimate mercy, place those lessons into our hearts and minds and give us the true realization of the importance of understanding the Quran and practicing upon the Quran. And may he make the Quran a means of proof for us and not against us on the day of Qiyamah, so that we may become from those who are granted entry into paradise. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله، فصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أنت أهله، وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله، فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وأشاك حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اجعلنا من علماء ربانيين والذين لا يخافون لومة لائم. اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا وأصلح ذات بيننا وانصرنا على عدونا. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في فلسطين. اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم. اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم. اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله، عاجله وآجله، ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله، عاجله وآجله، ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نسألك في سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من وعثاء السفر وكآبة المنظر وسوء المنقلب في المال والأهل والولد. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله، عاجله وآجله، ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله، عاجله وآجله، ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Next week there will be no lesson. Inshallah, the week after we will begin the next surah and also the next juz.